Welcome everybody to the 24th of May Bifold User Group call. First, want to note the antitrust policy in the Hyperledger Code of Conduct. So make sure that we are being welcoming and inviting to all that join. Glad to see everybody here. We're glad to have you. Anybody new that would like to introduce themselves and say what your interest in the Bifold effort is? Awesome. We're glad to have everybody here. I've pasted the agenda link in the chat, and feel free to add yourself to the attendees list. Announcements and work updates. Anything that we want to call out from the AFJ side? I know from what I know that we're AFJ is working towards a 0.20 release. Akif.
Yeah. So we ran into an interesting sort of bug. I don't know if it's a bug or a feature as part of AFJ, but the queuing mechanism that is used when using WebSocket transports for the mediator, it doesn't queue messages that are incoming. And as a result, they can get processed out of order. And we noticed that happening with a couple of our services. So I have logged an issue with AFJ on that. And I guess it might be a discussion point for the community about whether we should enforce queuing of messages, at least for the mobile agents, because it just creates some interesting artifacts mm-hmm. that we ran into. I don't know if you're aware of that, but.
I have not seen the issue, but the what you're communicating makes sense. Is it a specific question that is it out of order messages in a individual protocol or thread? Or for instance, you may receive a presentation request before credential issuance if you're doing them sequentially, for instance.
Yeah, so they could be different protocol messages, and it's not necessarily that they're received out of order, but they're processed as they come in. So for example, like what we found in one of the cases is our connection requests were not complete yet before we received, for example, a credential offer. So as a result, the credential offer was treated as connectionless because we hadn't processed the response yet. From the service. So it was things like that we ran into. And then the fix that we did in our app was to patch AFJ to use the queue for WebSocket transport. Now that's probably not a long-term solution for AFJ because for performance reasons, they don't recommend using that on server deployments. But I wonder if it's something we want to maybe discuss for at least the mobile agents and whether that's a fix that needs to be brought up in AFJ. So that's the only thing I want to call out there. Other than obviously the ongoing 2.0 initiative, and we're looking forward to updating the wallet with the V2 protocols.
Awesome. Thank you for the information. I added that to the agenda here so we can chat a little bit more about it. Awesome. The other thing that I want to call out for deployments work updates is by default, the Bifold uses the Indicio public mediator. And we are redeploying this. And so the old mediator will be decommissioned next month. The new mediator is going to require HTTPS and We'll soon be deploying that with the pickup plugin. So in terms of impact here, very minimal, but just want to make people aware that, that's happening. For the agenda today, we've got a couple of things. Discussing the AFJ messaging queuing. We've made some progress on the async ledger issuance bug in iOS releases. And then Ryan would like to speak to some of the configuration strategy that we've taken with the tab navigation. These are the things that we currently have laid out for the agenda. Are there any other things that we want to talk about? I think we may have some extra time today if there are things we want to discuss. Awesome. Well, let's jump into the first item and we can add other things as we go if we want. So I put this one to the front since we were just talking about it. So Makeith.
Yeah. So just to reiterate what was happening. So we have an Akrapi service that we were using to issue credentials from, and it's a connection-based flow. And what we noticed is on some of the environments, particularly slow ones, we were seeing connections that were not completing before. Like, for example, a credential offer came in. Now, the issuer, from their standpoint, once a connection response has been sent, it's assumed that the connection is ready between the two agents. So they can initiate a secondary protocol or send another message right after that. Now, on AFJ, depending on the strategy used to pick up messages, in some cases, the messages are queued up and then they're processed in order, one after the other. In the case of WebSocket transports, which is what we're using with our mediator, the messages get processed immediately as they come in by the agent. Now, due to the asynchronous nature of some of these, some of the handling of these messages, for example, with connections, there has to be some storage of information. It can take a little bit longer. And so the incoming messages get processed in the meantime. And so some things happen out of order. So for example, the connection is not yet established before or fully established on the side of AFJ before a credential offer comes in. And so what ends up happening is those credential offers are treated as connectionless, and they throw errors because they're not properly formatted for connectionless offers. So that was the thing that we ran into, and we were kind of like spent a bit of time kind of going through the stack to figure out what was going on, and then realized that that the WebSocket transports doesn't queue messages. So for what we did with our wallet is we've simply patched AFJ locally to use a queue. But what I've done is I've created an issue in AFJ, and I think Timo and that team are aware of it. But it probably has to be a discussion that's taken over on that meeting as to what to do there. So what he did mention is, yes, with the DID exchange protocol, it makes it more explicit about when connections are actually established. Mm-hmm. And so that might help resolve the issue, which it did. I tested against a newer version of AFJ. The only thing is there's a few bugs with the formatting of the DIDs right now in messages. And so that's causing a few issues, but I think with the DID exchange, that might actually resolve that.
Right. So, because one of the things the normative language here of the invitee should send a message to the inviter has been problematic. Connections protocol. And in all of our cases where we've been able to do so, our implementations have, from the inviter perspective, required this follow-up message before they will take another action.
That's right, yeah.
So that what you may be able to do is, if I recall correctly, the state on the Akrapi side should not, if you wait until it becomes active, that would allow you to know that you've received a follow-up message and it would actually be able to be safe to send the credential offer.
Yeah. So I guess the issue here is this is a sort of legacy system that was built a while ago. And I guess it's under the assumption that after the response is sent, it's not expecting an additional acknowledgement message, which AFJ does send. I guess it's using this older assumption. Now, obviously, with newer versions of AKAPI, they'll probably be using maybe Did Exchange or something like that.
Yeah.
So if anybody runs into this issue, I guess the fix for now that we've incorporated is to queue the messages. It's a small patch, and I'm happy to provide that if anybody needs it. We just patch it at the NPM module, so it's not affecting anybody else's builds. But I have tested it with the new Did Exchange protocol, and it seems that the connections are completed before the offers get processed, I guess because of the way that protocol specifies things should be completed. And it seems like that kind of fixed things. So I guess the major thing that we need is updating AFJ to sort of some of the later versions. And there's a few things that need to be ironed out there, but I think that'll resolve some of the issues.
Mm-hmm. That all makes sense to me. I think, because one of the things from my knowledge is that the intention is, this might also be a good conversation to bring up in the Aries working group, because from my understanding, the intention is to have them be able to be asynchronous in nature. So, I think that there's room for discussion about how to handle out of order message processing potentially.
Yeah, because queuing is not necessarily performant, I believe, on server deployments of AFJ. And so it's not feasible to have things queued up like that, at least from what I've been told. So I think the point is if anybody runs into this issue, please feel free to reach out. So we do have a short-term fix, and I think the longer-term fix will be perhaps updating AFJ and testing. But I think you're right. Like, we should probably bring it up at least in the AFJ working group and perhaps in the Aries working group about maybe configuring the ability to use a queue or not, right? Depending on what you're using the AFJ framework for.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my spiel.
You guys think it's worth asking, like, is the right thing to do to, you know, wait for Did Exchange and then just keep pushing ahead with Did Exchange, or B, like, as a group, push for a configuration option in AFJ where when we're configuring it, you can pass in a param, like, you know, queue WebSocket inbound true, and then get it to start queuing, because like Akif said, it's probably not something you want to do on a server.
I think the biggest or the first thing is waiting for Did Exchange, I think, will solve the immediate issues here. But I think there's an overall conversation that needs to be had. So there's another problem we haven't tackled, that in theory, messages can be delivered out of order from the mediator to the mobile agent. If the mediator receives them because of, let's say one message was delayed because of network issues, in a like a single thread, you could have out of order messages that mess up a individual protocol, not even just a protocol followed by another protocol.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a good point too.
So
yeah, I think that's a valid discussion.
So I think
go ahead. No, I'm done.
So I think there's three things. It's the best long-term major component is waiting for Did Exchange. And then Aries working group, we should discuss out of order messages. And then I think it would be relevant to have a conversation in AFJ to say, what's our config params needed or wanted? So I think there's some discussion that needs to be had in answer to your question, Jason.
So one thing I will add is we are right now using AFJ Alpha 20. So in case you're using a different version, like a later version, you may not run into this issue. But yeah, if you are using whatever's in currently in the main branch of Bifold, which is Alpha 20, and you run into this issue, like I said, we can give you a fix for it. It's an easy fix, at least from our standpoint.
Awesome. Any other discussion or questions on or thoughts on this one? Wonderful. Our next item here, async ledger issuance bug in iOS releases. So this was originally reported by you, Jason, and team. This is something that Patrick and I had followed up on, and we've made some progress here and expect to be able to have some a PR or two to help solve this. The major issue, to bring people, give some context, is that the issue here was that we wanted to be able to load the ledgers, create the pools, and connect them prior to the at issuance time, because opening up the ledger once we actually need to receive the credential is not great for performance. So we built a feature to asynchronously do this as soon as the agent is launched. And it ended up resulting in that only in iOS releases, this would not work. We run into a bug and everything would crash. So the issue, as we found it, is that, and one of the odd things here is that this would work fine in some of our other releases and such that we're using same versions of AFJ and Indie SDK, React Native. And so it was really odd. And what we found is that this is an issue of we have enough ledgers configured in Bifold. It's only six, but that's still enough that the bug that was happening is that there were too many open files in iOS specifically, and that was causing problems. We're not exactly sure why that would work in debug, but not in release. But by increasing the open file limits, we're able to open up more ledgers appropriately. The other bit of follow-up that we want to do is potentially some architectural change to how we implemented it, because as of right now, it will simultaneously open all the ledgers. And this should either be done in a batch of like three ledgers or just sequentially one after another. And that would also help address the issue. But we've cracked the major issue and should have a PR or two to help solve this.
Good sleuthing, James. That was a tough one, yeah. I think. Is the issue that when you open the ledgers like on demand, that they will only be opened if you're interacting with the ledger for some reason, like doing a lookup or getting a credential for it, and the other ones should remain closed if they're not being used?
So what we were doing previously was on demand, and what has to happen there is we have to open up a pool ledger handle in AFJ, and that will contact at least two of the nodes on the ledger and establish a connection, and then we can actually use that ledger. And that process can sometimes take some time, and so and it's not like an active connection. It will talk to the node, and then when in the future we need to use that, we can use the same handle, and it will then make the appropriate read requests and such. To also, one of the things is that we can't do it on an individual ledger by ledger basis, because with how we're doing multi-ledger reads right now, we have to go talk to all the ledgers to be able to identify where the DID, which ledger the DID is associated with, or the credential definition and schema, for instance, because that's not encoded in the DID itself. The DID Indy effort will solve this in that we'll be able to know which ledger it is just from the DID versus having to try and resolve it on all the ledgers. So our multi-ledger read right now is, it works and is awesome, but also doesn't, is not perfect in that regard. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I think I understand it. And again, thanks for catching that one, or tracking it down, rather.
Yeah. Awesome. Any other notes on this one?
So having this now opened ahead of time, this will speed up the first reads, right? Because I guess what I've noticed is when we have a lot of ledgers configured, the first, when we're like issuing the first credential, it can take a long time to yep. read from credential definition. So will this help in that regard?
Yes, that solves that exact problem, in that it should do that as soon as the agent is initialized, it will start that process. So in theory, yep. the first issuance should be the same speed as the second issuance.
That's excellent. I can't wait to get this in.
Agreed. awesome. Next item here, Ryan, you wanted to speak to some of the tab navigation configuration that you've been working on. Have at it.
Sweet, yeah. It's not a huge PR or anything. It just adds a new configuration file that will not change anything with the base version of the app, but just allow people to either decide between a three tab navigation or a five tab navigation. It'll allow people to pick between having the option to display a QR code or just directly going to the scan screen. And then finally, whether the app will navigate to a new connection that's made once the connection is complete, or if it'll use the old logic to wait for a credential or a proof request to be received. That's pretty much it.
Do you want to show a little bit of the file? And because I think part of what I want to see is if there's any concerns or thoughts or feedback, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me share my screen here. Cool. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. This is another branch I was working on. Give me just one second here.
While you're pulling that up, I thought of one thing that I wanted to bring up. Akif, I know you had previously brought up the issues where we weren't necessarily listening for the events of the credential deletion, or I can't remember. I don't remember if there was any other events that we weren't listening for. That there was there's somebody who was contributing, and there's a draft PR in the EFJ extensions.
That's right. Yeah.
I know Ryan was taking a look at that. Do you know if that's in a ready state or if there's some additional things that need to happen there?
So I saw the PR that went in for AFJ, and I wasn't sure whether they wanted to patch that back. It's been issued to the version 2, but I don't know if they wanted to patch it into earlier versions. The hooks is in a draft PR until the fix for AFJ goes in. I haven't, it was a few weeks ago and I really haven't looked at it since, but I know that somebody had been working on that.
Cool.
So I guess, yeah.
I'm just trying to follow up so that, I told you that I'd look into that. So
yeah, no worries. I think again, like there's so much cool stuff coming in the newer versions of AFJ, but like, just there's still some bugs that are being fixed that we're holding off on patching those in, but we'd love to, like, we can't wait to get these things in. There's so much good stuff coming in that is going to deal with a lot of the, like, some of the bugs that we've been facing, but like just newer features. So I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome.
I can follow up on that and I can give you guys an update maybe in the channels.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Okay, sorry about that. So this is actually a slightly older version. This one only has the... So this will decide whether it shows the 5 tabs or 3, the navigate on connection, and then there's going to be a 4th variable as well that will... decide whether it goes directly to the scan screen or gives the user the option to display a QR code.
Any questions or concerns, or should we just move forward the PR and then you can hack at it there?
Right now, the wallet displays a slightly larger icon for the scan. It's kind of prominent. How does, when you change the configuration, what happens to the look and feel of the tab bar? Does it just go to 5 normal sized icons across the, well, obviously across the tab?
Yeah, actually. So that's a good question. It originally will just go to like 5 tabs, but still have the scan be slightly bigger, but then there's also the show scan label variable. And then now we have the styling for the scan tab icon in the theme file. So both of those should be configurable. So we can still have the scan label be like standout, or they'll be able to configure it to be just like a normal icon like the other ones.
So I'm guessing in this case, the 5 tab layout is to add contacts and which other one?
Contacts and settings. Yeah.
Contacts
and then settings. It'll
okay. Yeah.
Remove the settings cog from the home screen as well.
Perfect. And then also in the actual settings page, it'll then remove contacts from there, right? Because right now we put it in there. It doesn't really make sense for contacts to be in settings.
Yeah. Perfect. It'll take that as well.
Awesome.
So our approach with having the 5, partially to Jason's question, we still have it like colored and highlighted, but we moved it from the circle because we debated about this for a bit, but the circle in terms of actually when you're doing messaging with another party, it gets in the way of the typing, the actual bar for them to type in the message. But we still wanted it prominent. So we took a that approach there on that.
And something Akif just brought up that I thought of, it does leave the setting screen a little bit bare, which is weird because it ends up being a tab screen and then there's only like two options on it. So I'm not sure if we,
I think it's fine for now. I don't know if we have so too much stuff in settings that's going in there right now. I don't know. I don't know if we're, if there's any plans to even add any more stuff to it in the short term.
I think there may be additional things. For instance, governance frameworks or potentially preferences and things like that. So I think there's things that could go in there, but I'm not immediately aware of exactly what would end up there, you know?
Yeah, likewise.
And I just found, I can share a little bit more visually what I was talking about with the QR code. So this is the approach that we came up with having the circle here would overlap with the message typing. So we still made it pronounced, but moved it down like that.
Looks good, Malik.
Awesome. Any other things on this, Ryan, or anybody else?
I guess maybe a natural progression from that configuration is to actually specify like what can go in the nav bar up to some limits. So for example, right now we specify that it's either three or five buttons and we prescribe which ones those are. But I wonder if, I guess maybe it wouldn't matter so much because you guys are working right now on that screen that allows you to either scan or there's another way of connecting. So there's like multiple connections.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it won't matter as much, but I guess depending on like the type of wallet someone's trying to build, like if they want something that is more chat focused and not so much, or yeah, that they can actually specify what they want in the nav bar, the ordering as well as like labeling, things like that. And I guess maybe that comes down to creating customizable components or something.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very pertinent. Ryan, sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, no, I think that's a great point. And I in this PR, it does make a tab screen component to try to make that a little more configurable. But yeah, it's still not in a great state.
No, it's just we keep iterating, right? Like this is just step one, and
yep,
this is a good first step, and we could just. I'm just thinking about how we can evolve it down the road. It's not an immediate pressing issue.
Yep. Awesome. Great. Good thoughts. Awesome. The last item here. Any other questions from the maintainers or other discussions that we want to have?
How are we finding documentation on the site? Like, I just saw a bug today, or not a bug, but an issue where somebody was having problem setting up the wallet on Linux.
I think I promised James last call that I was going to do some updates because there's some. I guess when we switched to the current architecture, I think some of the documentation got a little bit stale, so I was going to take a kick at it. I just haven't had any cycles to do that yet.
Yeah, I think that would be really helpful. I think the framework update, Awesome has put our documentation in an older state. So I think that would be awesome. And I think also, to be fair, I committed to doing some README updates. So a similar boat on the cycles, Jason. So I will also do that. Good note, Akif. I think the doing those two things would be really, really good. So, I guess one quick question that I had is there any concern over the merging of the dependabot PRs for version bumps?
I think they'd probably be fine. We were going to take a kick at trying to update some of those internal libraries, but again, it's just down to time. So, you know, getting to a more modern version of React Native, and then, you know, any other libraries, it can be a bit of a challenge sometimes, but just because you get dependency issues.
Right.
So no problem merging them because they're usually just trivial fixes. So they should be fine. If we want to do that as an interim solution, be fine.
Awesome.
I got one more interesting tidbit we can discuss.
In
a minute, James. So Plessio's taken a try at getting Bifold to work on the iOS simulator, and surprise, surprise, he has it working. It's less useful than Android because you can't inject images into the camera. So that would need to be stubbed out somehow or mocked so that you could do different trials. But he's got it working on the simulator, which makes it useful for testing different UIs because, you know, if you're right now, the UI gets a little scrunched and things overlap on the SE, which has the much smaller phone. So by using it on a simulator, you don't need quite the device library for like release testing. But it's an FYI. I don't know when he's going to merge that in. I think he's still kind of grinding through a few challenges, but he does have it working.
That's really awesome. Does that include actual indie SDK functionality?
Yeah, that was the challenge he had to overcome, was getting indie SDK written in Rust, I believe, to compile for the ARM architecture. And then I think he might have to, you know, create a library that's got both slices in it for both architectures, and then package it up. But it sounds like it's going well.
That is really good to hear, because I think we've struggled in the community to make that happen. So I think that this is something that we could help with, and or I think Animo, I don't want to speak for them, but I think they may also be able to lend a hand, because it sounds as if the major blockers are passed. So getting it working with standard and indie SDK, React Native and in Bifold and otherwise, I think they would be interested in helping with that.
Perfect. So yeah, stay tuned for a PR. I don't know where that, I assume that PR is going to come through to the Bifold. I actually don't know where indie SDK lives, but I think it's going to come through to Bifold. Maybe it goes through to AFJ. I don't really know.
So it, depending on the strategy Clessio has taken here, very potentially could be pertinent to add it to indie SDK React Native so that it's that's also usable for others not necessarily using Bifold, because I think that's a more broadly applicable. But in any case, if it's starting in Bifold, that's great.
All right. If I hear when he's getting close to doing the PR, I'll double check where it's going and see if it can end up in the repo that you're typing against.
Awesome. That's I'm glad that you brought that up. This is that's really awesome. It's something that we've has been a problem for a bit. In fact, just last week I was dealing with needing to create screenshots for the store, and I'm like, I don't have the necessary device sizes, nor can I actually emulate this or simulate it, I should probably say. So awesome.
Well, like I said, the only thing the wallet's going to need to figure out is the camera screen, because it should still pop up. You just can't take pictures with it on a simulator.
Right. I know, I think I've heard mentioned that the there's a way with iOS that you can use the camera to then you can use, like, if you have a screenshot of the QR code, you can then like open that in the app kind of deal using native iOS stuff. I've heard tidbits about that. I haven't looked at it much though, but that might be something worth looking at. Awesome. Anything else we want to discuss? Wonderful. Lots of great conversation today. Thank you for all the work and effort, everybody. And we'll end a couple of minutes early, but lots of awesome stuff happening. Thanks, folks.
Have a good one.
Bye, everybody.